would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, is the automatically deleted husband automatically deleted again? A few things that you might find of interest, especially because some things may have an impact, but and of course things I want to get to my kids. But one of the things I've noticed is especially with this particular shirt, you can see the particular holes in it, and you might wonder, aren't you wearing the same shirt repeatedly? One day after another, are you washing it every day? And, because I thought about that, because you would think after a while, either I'm washing it every day or it stinks. And it's not the latter, it's not the former. There's another option, is I'm usually shirtless now during the day. I'm at home, so I'm shirtless. And I have this old shirt that is sitting here, so when somebody comes to the door, which is a rarity, or when I head out to the mailbox or whatnot, I put on the same shirt because it's on for a couple minutes and off. So yes, that's a little weirdness, isn't it? You're probably really surprised that there's any, absolutely any weirdness in me, but I mentioned Rabbi Steve Berkson, And I did download some of the videos from him, and he has a two-part intro series, and I listened to part one today, and I found he's one of these speakers who does speak continuously, fairly rapidly, and so forth. He does have a it's not as much fluff as most, so it's a lot more solid. He goes into some depth, and he seems to be a person of pretty solid conviction. I have no doubt from what I hear that he's a brother. But there's a couple things that I've wondered. I made a couple notes. One is because he uses, and I have the copy of it, a translation. What is it called? It's done by the Institute for Scripture Research. It seems to be a little bit more, I haven't researched it. I've looked at that one because I have it I have it. It seems to use a lot more of the Hebrew. It seems to be very oriented towards Hebrew roots. Because a lot of times you will see in the Greek, instead of using what the Greek would say, they use the Hebrew, which, because that may get into the question of, did Jesus speak in Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek? Which is I've heard it argued in both directions. I think the strongest evidence is he was speaking mostly Greek. Obviously, he did Aramaic on the cross. And so many people get, that it was Eloi, Lava Sabachthani, however it's pronounced. And people, because they want to pronounce, especially the flamboyant fellows, they want to say and pronounce it and make it a big deal. And it was a big deal, but it was not because he was speaking Aramaic. He was quoting the first verse of a psalm, Psalm 22, 24. The important aspect of that, okay, 22, to the overseer, set on Dough of the Morning, a psalm of David, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my salvation, the words of my mourning. This is the LSV version. But if you read that psalm, the power has dried up from my earthen vessel. My tongue is cleaving to my jaws. You appoint me to the dust of the earth, for dogs so surround, any company of evildoers surround me, piercing my hands and my feet, and so forth. If you read that, it's not just that he quoted. What he did is he said, look at Psalm 22. You are seeing it happen in front of your eyes right now. And, you know, this was a really dramatic fulfilling of prophecy. This was a really big deal. I mean, you look at that psalm and so many things you see, you know, a company of evildoers surround me. He was crucified between two thieves. Piercing my hands and my feet. Well, how did they nail him to the cross? They pierced his hands and his feet. They appoint my garments to themselves. You know, they cast lots for them and so forth. It's written here hundreds of years before it happened, and then in the matter of a few hours or less, it happened right in front of people's eyes. And it's kind of like, wow, maybe this guy is who he claims he is. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, and so you can get to the sensationalist, you know, speaking the Aramaic, or you can look at what he's saying and say, wow, what he is saying is he is indeed the person fulfilling Psalm 22. That's amazing stuff. But, listening to the rabbi, you know, obviously I have trouble with that. You know, call no man, teacher, rabbi, rabboni, so forth. But I'm getting a little bit more of an understanding. He claims to be, because I heard him say it, from the line of Aaron. You know, my understanding from a quick research, the line of Aaron passes through the male only. So you have to be, you know, a son of a son of a son of a son of a son. You know, daughters go to their husbands. So it's a son of a son of a son. So you're in that part of the lineage. I think this is fairly agreed upon, even in, you know, because there's various versions of you know, modern Judaism. There's obviously an issue of records, because basically everything was destroyed a long time ago, and it's the tradition of the family. So a family will say that they have that lineage, and they would pass that lineage down. So, could that actually happen? Well, of course it could. In the sense that could it be that they've all disappeared, either because somehow it's forgotten and they exist but no one can prove it, or is in the Lord's plan the sons of the sons of the sons stopped? Those things are all possible. You know, it's interesting because one of the articles I read is there's various names that are common for people who are of that lineage, allegedly. One of them was Epstein, which I think is kind of like, yeah, boy, does that make sense. But anyway, and what I noticed in a lot of people who do Hebrew Roots, again, this 119 Minute Ministries, they're out of Florida. They do a lot of excellent things, and they do some stuff that I think they blow it completely, you know? Have I ever done that? Let's not talk about that. You know, and I've actually, I think I've also sent them a challenge and did not get a response. But there seems to be this tendency to instead of using, you know, because obviously I mention frequently the various Greek words from the New Testament and even apply them from the Septuagint, you know, the Greek of the Old Testament, you know, like theos, you know, for God and things of that nature, or various other things. But they turn a lot of these things, you know, they don't talk, a lot of people don't talk about Jesus, they talk about Yeshua, or things of that nature. It seems to be My concern is sometimes that is done because they're striving to be more accurate. Sometimes it's done to in order to set us apart. We're different. We don't talk about Jesus. We talk about Yeshua. We don't talk about the Christ. We talk about the Messiah. Things of that nature. And sometimes it's done in order to distinguish themselves. Sometimes it's pride. But what concerns me is it seems, if you're basing stuff on the New Testament, the New Testament's Greek. And going back, and, when you look at this one translation, they do use things, they use the Hebrew, in so many cases, anyway. And it's kind of like, why would you do that? One of the things that confuses me, and I just did a quick check on this, is this rabbi frequently mentions Abba instead of the Lord or the Father or things of that nature. He uses the term Abba a lot. And of course we do see Abba, Father. And what I find fascinating is my understanding, yes, it comes from a Hebrew word, Av, not Abba. So, and it is more Aramaic, the origin, rather than Hebrew. Aramaic is, and which I find fascinating, because Aramaic comes from basically modern-day Syria, and, there was a gentleman who was on his way to Damascus, modern-day Syria, and had an event occur. kind of like, whoa, you're God, aren't you? Paul on the Damascus Road. Anyway, that was kind of like, wow. Anyway, so, I've wondered about that aspect, his claim, and, And the other thing he's doing, and I've only seen part one of this intro series thus far, but talks about how we don't ask, we don't have a collection plate, we don't pass the plate, whatnot. We have the collection, we have the plate in the back, and those kind of things, and so I kind of. We don't ask, but boy, do we take it in. It seems like kind of message. So I'm not sure in that yet, because it could be. He is stating that he's not after riches, which I commend. But it is a fairly plush institution from what I see in the plush, not in the sense of ornate, plush in the sense of really comfortable chairs and things of that nature. And, sound system and whatnot. Oh, and one other thing. When I've seen there, I don't think it's an elevated stage. That's also a good thing. I don't think it's an elevated stage. I don't remember. But one of the things, they have, I saw musical instruments and whatnot, and they also had something else in the background. One of these. You may recall this, or some people may recall this. Theirs is a little bit bigger than mine, but they apparently, have and use a shofar in their services. And I have one, and I've never made a good sound out of it, but it is a symbol for Shofar Nexus, but anyway. So I just found that. So, again, I'm not trying to find faults. I'm trying to find out, because again, one, if he's wrong on the rabbi issue, I think it's appropriate for me to challenge him. If he's right on the rabbi issue, I want to know. I want to be corrected. Again, because my understanding is there is no way to prove you're a Levite. there is a tradition, yes, my family comes from, which, you know, he's claiming. And, you know, that concerns me, because do you argue that as the traditions of men kind of question? Or can you say with confidence, yes, I'm a descendant of Aaron. I am a Levite for real, for true. Can you? I don't know. You know, and you know, my assumption is you can't. If I'm wrong, I'd like to know why. I want to be corrected. Anyway, that was fascinating. Second thing, which actually was supposed to be the first thing, but since that was fresh in my mind, I have had, and I used the photo for the card, because I sent a postcard today to Gloria Jean, because I have a photo, and it's been, you know, what I frequently do is on my big monitors, my stand-up environment, the wallpaper is typically a photo. Right now, the wallpaper on that environment is a photo when we went to Dollywood. Trying to get it up here. Anyway, there's a photo of our trip to Dollywood in whenever that was, and it's my wife. Her hand is holding Erica Lee, who is maybe, I don't know, 10, 12. And then Jack, Joey at the time, I think, you see his back. And there's a head, right, which could be Tirza, maybe not, I don't know. But anyway, it was from that time. But when I look at that picture, and that's been up on, because I changed it periodically, but that one's been there for a long time because the smile on my wife is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. That is a beautiful smile. She's gorgeous. Have I mentioned she's gorgeous? She's gorgeous. So, you know, I've had that photo. But then there was this other photo that I acquired. Apparently, it was around my wife's birthday in 2020. This is my assumption because I acquired it from... it was posted on Facebook. And it's not that I signed into Facebook because I can't, but I did a search, found some photos, and I got the limited number of photos that I could because, you know, when you ask for more, it says, please sign in, and I say no. But I got them, and of course, I saved them. And that's the photo I used for Glory Jane today because the image was up on my sit-down environment here, and as I was... I think walking around and whatnot, I walked up, and because I look at there's my wife, the woman I love and adore. And, you know, I look at her and I love it. I still love and adore her. And it suddenly hit me when I was looking at that photo. I wasn't looking at a photo of my wife and other people. Well, for example, the photo there at Dollywood, there's a few of my kids, but there are a bunch of other people in that photo. I have no idea who those people are. They do, but I don't. But when I looked at this photo, it's kind of like, I see my wife, I recognize her, and most of the others look like strangers to me. The one exception, I think, would be Julia. I think part of that is because of the fact that we've had the most recent interaction I've had with any of my kids has been with Julia. And, of course, in her arm is Charlotte. Charlotte I've never met. I have photos of her, a few, but not too many recent. So it was easy to recognize Julia and Charlotte. But then it hit me. There are five women in this photo. They're all my family. And it was kind of like, oh, those are all my family. But Susanna, you know, if I would have met her just on the street, I wouldn't recognize her. Tirza, the same way. I wouldn't recognize her. You know, I just walk right by her. If I saw him on the street and walked by Julia again, I think I would remember because also I've seen her more as an adult, whereas Tirza and Susanna, especially, you know, she's what, about 18 right now. So last time I saw her, she was like an 8-year-old. She's changed. So I look at these people and it really shocked me. Looked at it and realized those are all my family. You know what it's like to be a dad and not recognize your own kids? It'll rip you apart. What you need is the grace of God to hold you. Because otherwise, it'll rip you apart. But something else about that photo that, you know, obviously Erica Lee married with her own kid. So she was easily, and from what I understand, there's some tension. I don't know if it still exists or if it was temporary or whatever, but between my wife and Erica Lee. I don't know what it's like right now. But someone's missing. Of all my girls, someone's missing. And it's Gloria Jane. And what concerns me is I do have another photo of Gloria Jane. And I'll have to find it to include it. Because it's a photo of her. I don't have it up. But I don't know if I have it easily available. I don't think so. But it's a photo of her and Walter and Zadok are in the photo, as well as Susanna and some others. But they're kind of together and Gloria Jane's kind of in the background. And when I looked at that photo, you know, it could be just that's simply the way it happened at that moment. But I'm wondering, because again, I have very little information to go on. I have the one photo of where she's absent and this other one where she's in the background. And it concerns me. It concerns me for my Gloria Jane. Is my Gloria Jane in the background? Or is she a vibrant part of the family? I'm a dad. That's my girl. And I don't know. So I did send her a postcard today, which I assume in a week or so, week, 2 weeks, whatever, I'll get it back. The point was to say, you are missed. She is loved by her dad. I, again, probably wouldn't recognize her if she showed up in front of me. But she smiled. I'd probably recognize that smile. She has a beautiful smile. Anyway, I'm concerned for my Gloria Jane, and I'd like to know. I'd really like to know. One last thing. Because the thing that was amplified this is I found an article. I was doing some quick research and I found an article that was, the article was December 9th of last year, 2021. But the photo was from December 8th. And I'll give you both the photo and the link to the article. But what fascinates me, it was from you know, there's an issue going on right now with, I have the article up here. The article was from the Kiev Independent, or if you prefer, the Kiev Independent. and it is Javelin anti-tank missiles seen deployed to Donbass. Notice this is before things happened in February. And what you have there is a photo of a a journalist wearing, you know, the blue press body armor. And next to him is a man with, you know, covered face and whatnot, holding a javelin. And the reporter is doing a thumbs up. So this is, you know, he's endorsing this. And it's more than interesting to me, because that photo was from December 8th, my wife's birthday. And the javelins have been making the news a bit, because, as I pointed out, if you're interested in one and have some pocket change, for about $30,000, this is the same figure I'm hearing now from several places, you can buy one on the black market. Apparently, the latest thing I've heard, there are two ways to pay. Well, probably three, you know, cold hard cash, well, works probably. But there's two other ways. One is Bitcoin, which, you know, it's supposed to be more anonymous, but it's traceable, you know, so if you think you're anonymous with Bitcoin, anyway. But the other way is PayPal. So with PayPal, you can buy a javelin, which I find fascinating, because PayPal will cut you off if you're politically incorrect. You know, one of the noted things was they cut off donations to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, because, you know, we don't want to endorse them, so we're not going to let you have money. This idea, oh, you know, well, you know, I should remind me to tell you about the thing in Lebanon. But apparently, and now thus far it's just rumor, but, you know, some of these things are being purchased. Some of these are being captured. You can see where a lot of the stuff is simply abandoned as the Russian forces move and capture areas. The Ukrainian forces typically abandon a whole bunch of stuff and disappear. And so there's a whole lot of those things that they simply acquire. But there's also rumor that the Russians have actually bought some javelins and what are not the javelins. They bought one of the HIMARS systems on the black market. If that's true, I don't know. They probably paid more than $30,000 for that. But, I mean, wouldn't that be fascinating? Because, you know, again, the whole thing is a money-making scheme. It's for the military-industrial complex, as, you know, Eisenhower warned that, you know, and what's the point? Let's just generate revenue. How do we generate revenue? We've got to use our product. How do we use our product? We need wars. And, you know, so that's the point. But anyway, I found it fascinating about that maybe the Russians have an intact HIMARS that they bought on the black market. I don't know if it's true. But, you know, again, I have seen numerous places where you can buy, you know, I've actually seen some interviews with, here are the devices, and there'll be some cough up the cash and here you go. I mean, this is apparently fairly easy to acquire, but to see that you can get it with PayPal, I found that interesting. So I wanted a photo and I found this, and of course it was December 8th. But one other thing. You may or may not be familiar with yesterday. A gentleman in Beirut, Lebanon, reached the point of frustration. He had some money in the bank, the equivalent of $200,000. The bank wouldn't give it to him. They don't give their money to anybody. You're limited to, I think it's like $300 a week. And they do, the financial term is a haircut, meaning they will take some of it in the transaction they give to you. So you don't get all your money back. And you only can get $300 at a time. And you may get, I don't know, $250 in reality. So your account drops by $300 and you have $250 in cash in hand. It's called, the technical term for that is theft. But this gentleman got frustrated because apparently he has, bills to pay that are quite behind. Plus, I think it was his dad who had huge hospital bills or something that he needed to pay. So he got to the breaking point, grabbed a rifle, went into the bank, and said, "I want my money." He's not stealing anybody else's money. He wants his money. And he came into the bank with a gun to get his money. You know, so it's technically not a bank robbery, but it is a bit of pressure. because again, he said, "No, I want somebody else's money. I want my money. Give me my money." And it's fascinating because, a bunch of police showed up. And a whole bunch of protesters and onlookers showed up. And after, I think, an hour or two, three, whatever it was, there was a negotiated settlement, and he did leave. They actually gave him some money. It wasn't anywhere near the $200,000. I think it was several thousand. I don't remember the amount. And when he walked out, he waved to the crowd. So he seemed to be escorted out, but he wasn't handcuffed. And what kind of repercussions he's facing, but it does seem like he was escorted out and probably headed towards a police station or something of that nature. But I found that fascinating because the idea of, well, again, if you study finances, the term haircut is a common expression in the financial industry. It happened in Greece many years ago now, where the government simply said, "We need your money. So we're just going to go to our citizens and take some of their money out of the bank because we're broke." And you see so many things like that happening in various parts of the world. Lebanon's been having some trouble, especially since that explosion, which is now, I think, is it 2 years? 2 years since the explosion. That occurred in the port there, which no one has taken responsibility for. And there are a whole lot of complaints on that still happening in Lebanon because it's known as the second largest, man-made explosion ever in history, second only to the atomic bomb. Because this was a big bang. But anyway... So there are solutions for this. Bitcoin isn't the solution, by the way. But there are solutions for this economic issue. There was a gentleman out of Canada who's described it quite well. He has moneyasdebt.net. And his name is Paul Grignon or something. And I've actually had interactions with him. Because I developed a electronic system that could implement what he called producer-issued credit. Because suddenly the banking system disappears within. And the idea of a haircut is gone. And unless you're buying a haircut, that's one of the examples I use. But you see, you don't go against the banking system. Because they don't like you. The noted example, as I use often, is the biggest effort to circumvent the international banking system. The Bank of International Settlements and their cronies, such as the Federal Reserve and so forth, was a gentleman in Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, and he was trying to get a African-only currency in place. And because he was one of the richest men, one of the 10 richest men in the world, at the time, 10 times, he was like 10 times more wealthy than Bill Gates. Because again, the way people considered Gates, Musk, and Bezos and whatnot as rich is because of their stock value, not because of the money they have. But in the case of Gaddafi, or like the Queen of England and whatnot, it's because of the assets they have. And he had a whole lot of gold and was going to use that for a backing of an African currency. And the banking community said, okay, enough is enough. So they had their surrogates take care of them and use other excuses to say, okay, that's how we got rid of it. Well, that's how he was gotten rid of. It wasn't us. No, it wasn't us. But, the evidence is very strong. The reason he was taken out finally was not because of military actions. It's because he went after the one thing you don't mess with, the banking industry. Anyway, I found one thing led to another. I do find it fascinating. I have a respect for this rabbi because he's not a quack. He's not just a sensationalist, it seems, from what I've seen, which I'm very appreciative. He seems to be pretty solid. I think we don't agree in everything. And he even said that, which I found fascinating. So, yeah, I think there's the possibility he might be a person I could have a respectful relationship with, even though I'm guessing that we're not going to come to the same conclusion in a number of areas. But the most important thing is the photos of Gloria Jane and the one where Gloria Jane isn't there. Gloria Jane is constantly on my heart. You know, because I've had interactions with Eric Lee several times, we've been on the phone before, including some extended calls. Obviously, I've seen Julia face to face and had a fantastic hug with her. I saw Tirza once, she's gone really quiet for years. But Susanna and Glory Jane have been just completely separated from me. But of all of them, maybe because she's the youngest, I have another picture. I need to include that one too, of her with a kind of angel wings or butterfly kind of wings, wearing those. And boy, did she look cute. It's a photo I love it. Because she's my girl. And I wonder what's happened to my girl. And what really concerns me is I sent her a card today to tell her I love her. And I can be quite confident in a week or two it'll be on the wall behind me and she'll never see it. Her dad loves her. It seems others don't. And that hurts. My lady, my wife, I still love you. In spite of those cards, in spite of your absence, in spite of, the last time I heard your voice live is the one time many years ago where you accidentally picked up the phone, found out it was me, and hung up. But I heard your voice for a moment. And I think I said something to your husband or whatever. I still love you. And I want you back.